Welcome back to the Lion Zeal Show. This is your host, Daryl Rosso, and today I'm joined by Mahmoud Fatty, and we're discussing his content service business that he's built up from zero to over $10,000 a month. And even better yet, he built it up to almost $10,000 a month without a website, without a logo, and without as much as a name, just by selling this to friends and people in Facebook communities for SEO, which is a perfect testament to the idea that you don't need to have everything ready today. You just need to go out there and talk with people and sell to people. But beyond that, he's not just a beginner to this whole thing. He also built up an affiliate portfolio up to $15,000 a month at its peak before he started selling off some of those sites. And even cooler yet, he's done all of this and he's currently only 24 years old, or 24 years old by time this is published at least. So he's a young guy, he's never had a job in his life, and yet he's gone out there and built up a team, he manages a team, and built up three separate six-figure businesses. So with that said, let's jump into the episode. I hope you guys enjoy. Hey man, thank you for joining me on the show today. It's awesome to have you here.
Thanks, Eric, for having me.
So I want to start off the same way every episode starts, which is, can you introduce yourself, who you are, what it is you do, you know, the basics like that. I'm sure you've seen it before.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Mahmoud Fatty. I'm from Egypt, but currently living in Italy. I'm currently running three online businesses. First one, what we will talk about, is Content Wish, which is a content writing agency or service. Second thing is Clicks Rocket, where we basically grew and buy and flip niche sites. And third and final one, Acroera, which is a fashion e-commerce store, but in the Italian market. And yeah, pretty much that's it.
Awesome, man. And can you share how old you are, by the way? I think it's an interesting kind of tidbit and starting point.
I'm almost 24 years old after 3 days on the Christmas. Yeah, I will be 24.
Awesome, man. And how long ago did you get started with this?
Yes. So I started in the, like, you know, online marketing world probably 10 or 11 years ago. I was like 13 years old. And when my father gave me like a software, yeah, my father is a programmer. So he gave me a software like to, you know, do simple web designs with HTML and CSS. So I did my first design and it was very, very basic stuff. I was just playing with everything, but it got me to the, like, how to buy a domain, how to buy a hosting, how to connect each, like, everything with each other. And it was my first interaction with web world. 2 days later, two years later, you know, everyone had Facebook pages where you can grow a page like very, very, very fast. And I had pages just for my football club, like the one I support in Egypt. And then someone asked me, like, can I post a link for my website on your page and I will pay you money? So I was like, why would someone pay me money for just posting their link? And it got me curious. So I opened his website and then I found that he's there's something called ads and there's Google AdSense where you can put some news or anything and just share on Facebook and people click on your ads and then you start making revenue. That time I was like 15 or 16 years old. So I started doing the same thing. I built my own sites. I was using Google AdSense and was using like Facebook traffic. Then later I heard about affiliate sites and SEO, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And then I started in the affiliate world and then, yeah, everything started, you know, to connect with each other. I started to learn about SEO, about building niche sites. Then lately I started my own content service, or content business basically.
That's awesome, man.
So pretty much
that's really interesting. Yeah. You got like the push from your dad as a programmer. It's a bit different to most people how to start out.
Yes, because actually, like, when you grow up in a maybe geeky type of family, you have a PC when you're like too young, then yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So we connected awesome. The first time a couple of years ago or something. It was quite a while ago, I'm guessing now.
Yes, exactly. First time when I joined, there was like training or like membership in a forum with training as well. That was the first time, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, about a couple of years ago. And back then you were doing client work, if I'm not wrong.
I was doing affiliate SEO type of websites.
From the beginning, okay.
Yes, plus I wanted to start like client SEO.
Gotcha.
In the, yeah, yes, exactly.
Can we go back to then? Because I think since that time, you've like significantly grown your income from doing this.
Yes. So yeah. So back then I was, I had my Amazon affiliate websites. I wasn't actually making that much. It were probably 3,000 or 4,000 per month in profit. And I wanted to have clients and do an SEO business.
Why? You're making $3,000 or $4,000 a month. You have to deal with anyone. Why would you want clients?
I want to do this transition and have like kind of real business. I'm not saying that affiliate is not real business, but again, I want to have clients. I want to deal with everything, although it's not easy, but I want to learn more. I want to basically have more experiences, especially at young age. So that was the main motive for me. However, I was targeting like the local businesses in the United States and it didn't went so well back then. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. So you mm-hmm. doubled at that point. I think you doubled down on affiliate, right?
Yes, exactly. Because I had like few clients and things didn't go well for many reasons, but my organization skills and to build an agency at that age, I was probably 20, 21, something like that. It didn't go so well. So I doubled down on the affiliate route until the end of 2019. So yeah.
So how much did your affiliate revenue grow in that time?
Yes. I think I crossed five figures. It was like, from 10 to 15,000. That was like probably the upper limit I have reached. And then it started to decline a little bit because I sold several websites and start focus on several other things.
It's not a bad fit if you're selling the sites though, right? Like you're still making the money from it. You're just collecting upfront.
Yes, indeed. But back then, I was always between that bracket from 10 to 15. Now it's a bit lower, but it's fine.
Sure, get it. So mm-hmm. I'm curious, for anyone that is in that same sort of situation as you were, where they're making $3,000 to $5,000 a month, I mean, that's pretty good in itself. But what was the process like to then get it up to 10, 15? Because it's quite a significant jump.
I think the main reason is that I started to target non-Amazon type of, you know, websites or products.
It certainly helps, yep.
So yes, indeed. The main thing that helped me is that I looked to my Amazon affiliate sites. I didn't create new websites, but I saw how I can target other affiliate programs and start to promote digital products on the same websites. And that's actually a real life example. I had a website in the arts niche. And I was selling stuff on Amazon that's related to arts, different type of arts, okay? And then I found that there are courses and there are software and there are different type of digital products and services that I can actually promote. I started targeting these keywords and they were making me so much money very easily by comparing to Amazon. Like I had like one sale for a course, I was making $80 from one sale. While on Amazon to make $80 in profit, I need to sell probably, I don't know, $2,000 or product or something.
Sure.
So yeah. So that was the main thing that helped me actually to make way more with my own same websites.
Gotcha. And I presume you were expanding the content effort to be able to do that, like to rank for those different keywords.
Yes, indeed. By that time I was hiring more writers. I was growing my content team as writers, editors, and a virtual assistant to upload the WordPress post and everything.
That's awesome, man. I'm curious, can we step back a little bit before that? So we will go forward to where you are today because I think that's interesting also. But that first mm-hmm. sort of level of going from like zero to $3,000 a month, we kind of glossed over it. That's probably the most difficult part. And it's definitely the most difficult part when you share that you got to 15 grand a month just from the same site, just from improving it. So
yes,
we talk a little bit about that first sort of hurdle, like how to get up to like zero to like $3,000 a month. Did you build like 10 sites, one site? How did that look?
Yeah, indeed. So I started like in the beginning of 2017 or mid 2017 by two Amazon affiliate websites. They were in the, technology hardware niche. Okay. Both of them, I had very limited budget like that by that time. But I have been able to buy some content, and both of them ranked, and both of them were making $200 to $400 per month. I think by the beginning of 2018, I sold both websites, each one for probably $3K or something. So I had, in total, if I remember correctly, $6,000 to $7,000, which back then for me was a very good cash flow, and it helped me building another website. That other website reached actually $1,200, and I have been able to sell that website for cannot remember exact figures, but probably $20,000 or something, and I had this $20,000, and that helped me actually growing other couple of websites, or three or four websites, I can remember, from two to four websites. And with these websites, I reached $3,000 to $4,000 income.
Gotcha, that makes sense. So it's because that like getting a site to around $3,000 a month when you don't have any budget is extremely difficult. So your approach was kind of leveraging one flip to the next flip until you got to the point where you had enough cash flow to invest to build a site of that size.
Yes, exactly. Because back then I had almost like, I don't know, zero budget. So you definitely need to build a very small website with limited content and then sell it, and then build bigger one, then sell it, and then bigger one, and then you would be able to scale later on.
In those early days, how was that budget used? Was it just on content, or did you start building backlinks and things like that as well?
Yeah, back then, as I mentioned, I had very limited budget, so I outsourced the content because that's the thing that I wouldn't do myself. And for the link building, I was doing it like, manually by building these type of free links that actually they do nothing in most of the cases, but I was building those, forum links, blog comments. Back then there was something called scholarship links, if you remember that. So I was building these type of things, which usually don't cost you anything. However, for the content, I was outsourcing it completely.
Okay. And obviously you're able to rank with just that.
Yes. Actually back then, those type of links, were helping. I wouldn't say they do a huge difference, but they were helping on ranking for easy long tail keywords. I was able to rank on some keywords with these type of links. Yes.
So would you advise someone to do that same approach from your own experience, like starting off with a small site, content only, long tail keywords, and just trying to get a little bit of cash flow together if you don't have any?
Yes, I think this is a good route. But if I would start all over again, I would try to get some budget before starting an affiliate business, because to reach to that level, like it took me probably 3 years, to have a very, very stable, good income from it. And I think it's a bit long timeline. I think it could have been shorter if I had some budget when I started out. So I think that's the main thing that I think people or beginners should have, kind of even like just small budget, but that's enough for just getting content and getting links before starting out. So you would be able to find results in the short term. So you don't lose actually the motivation to go
sure.
on,
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And also I'll add on my own thoughts to that. If you're going to spend all this time building up a site, you may as well build up a site that can make you $100,000 a year versus a site that's going to be capped and limited at a much, much smaller size than that.
Yes, indeed. And if you are in a case that you have probably bills and you have very important stuff to pay each month, you definitely need some cash flow. That's why I think in the beginning, the client's route would be a smarter choice. So you have cash flow and then you can reinvest and build your own portfolio.
If you can sell and don't mind yes. the clients.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, of course, you can also just get a job and get a higher paying job, try to get a raise, stuff like that, and just save as much money as you can. But I agree that having some money, just a few thousand, is ideal. I mean, personally, if I'm starting a site like that, I'd probably want like 30,000, but I'm probably on a, thinking of from a different perspective to how most people do.
Yes, got you.
So fast forward a little bit. Okay. So you're making pretty good money from Amazon affiliate, and then you scale that into a bigger site with more affiliate programs, software, information products, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At some point you decided you're going to launch a content service, right?
Yes, exactly. So that happened actually when I sold a website with Empire Flippers. The new owner was interested in getting content to the website. Okay, so he didn't want to deal with the website. He wanted to add content on it, and he told me, "Can you handle the content?" And back then, I had no interest, and I never knew that I could actually sell content. And then I told him, yeah, but they are working with me and I have my other websites and they're actually like just like a couple of friends in Alexandria, in my own city. So he told me, yes, but I can buy it as a service. So you can just sell me content and I'm happy to pay for it because I like the quality. And it was the first time that it clicked on in my mind that I can sell content. So I sold him some content. That was in the beginning of 2019. And I was scaling in 2019 my portfolio, so I needed to hire more writers. By the end of 2019, I found that we have capacity. Like, yeah, I need content, but I had now many writers. And yeah, we can do some client work, you know. So by the end of 2019, I started to ask people, like, you know, contacts and people in the same domain, do you guys want content? Like, who want content? and here's some samples of our work. You can check. Let me know if you have any questions. Back then, I didn't have any website, no brand, nothing, you know. And actually, I was able to get clients by using just my name and Facebook chat, you know.
Nice.
We started getting orders. And people starting to like to order more. Some people start to ask me, I want like 500,000 words, you know, and these kind of like huge amounts of words. And I realized that, okay, it looks like we are selling something good. The quality is quite good at our price point. So let's turn it to a business. And in May 2020, I launched Content Wish. We have our logo design, everything, website, and now everyone can order online. So pretty much that's it, yeah.
What I like about this is, obviously, I've helped a lot of people do this and I've done this myself. When most people start out, they think they need to have everything ready. They have to have a website, the websites look good. You have to have a brand name and a logo and just nonsense, right? You did this without a website, without a name or anything, just over Facebook. And I think it's just like a perfect example of how a business is actually built, because it's about communicating with people, selling to people. It's not about having a logo or anything fancy like that, you know?
Yes, exactly. I completely agree. And actually, like, even before we had our website and everything, we reached to a kind of good revenue. We were making about 9 or 10,000 per month in revenue, not profit. But without any logo, without any website, just contacting people on Facebook and showing them samples of our work. And yeah, we built business out of that.
That's awesome, man. So how much did you build it to just from, you know, Facebook and friends and network versus like before you had the website?
You mean like the difference between the revenue before and after?
Yeah. Like how much revenue did you get it to just via your network and Facebook and without a website or anything fancy like that, writing the name?
Yes. Before having the website and everything, we were making, I think, between $8,000 to $10,000 per month in revenue. That's nice. Before having the website and everything. And definitely when we started to be a brand and everything, we had definitely more orders. We scaled the team. So now our revenue levels are much higher.
Sure. And that makes sense. Like, obviously it would have it's more professional. It's going to help you get more people. It's easier to refer people to you. Obviously it's going to help. But indeed. Like that point mm-hmm. that you were making as well is that it's difficult to get that all in place at first. And it's much easier just to go and sell something.
Yes, indeed. Actually, because when you start something, you want to first, in my opinion, to just test it out and ask people, you know, just before doing and before spending many hours and many days just to try to build the perfect website, a perfect logo, just time consuming. And you still didn't test your product first, which is the most important part. So I believe that just start and just ask people if they are interested actually in the product. And then later on, you can build your brand and everything. It comes, you know, automatically later on.
I agree. Now, for someone that's listening, what is their takeaway? What can they learn from this? Obviously, content business is hot right now and people are buying content. So that's one thing. So create some competitors for yourself. But what else? What did you learn from this that someone else can apply?
That's a good question. Yeah, I would say it just the same thing that we were talking about. Just like start. And don't overthink the whole thing about website and branding and marketing strategies and like the complicated stuff. Just focus on the product at the beginning. Focus on the product, which is like service or productized service or whatever. And focus on that and find the right audience and potential clients. Reach out to them and show them some samples. If they like your stuff, just start scaling a bit, you know. Yeah, pretty much.
No, I agree with that. That's good advice. Mm-hmm. Yes. I would add something that you probably found kind of with this, and that when you have a good product market fit, it's mm-hmm. kind of easy. And I don't mean to downplay the work that goes into finding that. I don't mean to downplay the work that goes into building the business by any means. But if it's extremely difficult to get in front of people, extremely difficult to sell people, you're probably selling the wrong service or selling to the wrong people.
Yes, I completely agree, because actually, like, I never imagined that we could sell like that amount of content when we started out. But then because the content, we took care of everything in terms of quality and you know, the consistency of everything. It's actually, yeah, it's easy. Actually, like at the moment, the demand every month is more than the supply. So we want to slow down the scaling.
It's a good problem to have.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, indeed. They are awesome problems to have, actually. So if the product is good, and I think our main selling point, which is, I think, the price and the quality, the balance is perfect. So currently we have many orders, and if we want to have more orders, we can do it, but we just want to take it slowly, because with content services, you definitely need to hire more writers, more editors. It's just not like a software where you can get more customers. There are like operations and everything. So we are scaling slowly. But yeah, I can see that if you have a good product, you can sell, you can do a great business, but you need to take care of operations and the supply.
Which is a difficult part for services, 100%.
Indeed, yeah.
Here's a question for you. At some point, you obviously noticed the large amount of potential in the content business and decided to focus on that versus the affiliate side of your business, which you still have, but it's not as much of a focus today. What mm-hmm. was the reason, what was the thing that made you decide, hey, this is where I want to put my focus?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it was the main reason. I think it was the same reason just like 2 years ago when I started to do the client SEO. I wanted to try something new. I wanted to have a new experience. Although I'm quite confident that if the focus and energy that I put in content, which in the conservice, I could put, for example, in doubling down the affiliate sites, I would achieve the same kind of income, probably. I don't know.
Probably, but, yeah.
So the main reason was not for the revenue or profits, although our numbers definitely are awesome. But the main reason, just, you know, when you have, in my own sites, I had quite, in my opinion, content. So I wanted to make a product and sell that product. Also, like a good solution for affiliate marketers who are looking for kind of good content with a good price. So that was one reason. Second reason was just to have a new experience, hiring more people, like hiring project managers, having clients, doing some marketing stuff like email marketing, maybe paid ads, having even affiliate program like I used to promote other services and programs. Now there are people who promote us, so we have our affiliate program. So I wanted to get to these basically new experiences, which I believe is quite important to learn new stuff, especially in my case, because I never had a job before. So I'm quite kind of new to the professional world, you know? So there is a big difference between building your own websites and having a service and, like, you know, behind the scenes and in front of everyone, there is big difference. And I wanted to reach to that level to learn more about the whole thing, you know?
I get the feeling, and I can 100% relate to this, that you are interested in doing more business, for lack of a better word, where you were running your own sites before, but it was just you, and you outsourced some writing and stuff like that, some writers. Didn't feel as much of a business as what you did with the content fear, not having clients.
Yes, exactly. Like, I always have the feeling that I want to have my own business, and by business, I mean clients, service, and everything in between, you know? So yeah. It's completely different from the affiliate type of websites, although now I'm actually reinvesting a lot of my income in my portfolio. So it's going on, but I definitely want to have a business, want to have my clients, and want to have this thing. So that's basically the main motive behind everything.
And what I like, by the way, about having a service business like that, where you have a content service or clients of any kind, is that if you do want to have the affiliate sites, as you're literally doing yourself, so you know this fine well, that you now have, it's like an army of writers to write your content for you, way cheaper than anyone else can get it for. Plus you have the cash flow coming in now from the service that basically pays for building up your own portfolio.
Yes, exactly. Because now I found it very interesting, because now I have more writers. So I'm a client of my own service. So I have my username and I purchase just like everyone else, but definitely with cheaper prices. So the same content team is doing the content for my own websites. And I have also the cash flow coming from the content service and reinvesting in my own sites. So everything now is going along together perfectly. So yeah, I'm grateful to reach to that level by now.
It's awesome. And for anyone that's interested in doing something similar, whether it be content, hopefully not for your sake or something else, but what do you think is the reason people choose to buy content for you? Like, what is your USP, or what makes your content better or different? What is the thing?
Pretty good question. So I think the main reason is the price. So many people want to publish, let's say, like 1,000 words, 100,000 words, or even more, and they want to get some affordable content. And the problem is, when you go with kind of affordable type of content, usually you get sentences that probably don't make any sense, and you know, very, very, very bad grammatical mistakes and stuff like that. Okay, but in our service, it's kind of different, because we are super careful by who we hire, and our hiring process is actually quite difficult. So we make sure everything is all right. In the beginning, actually, of the service, I was hiring native speakers, professional writers, and native speakers to rate my writers. That was in the early days. So I wanted to make sure everything is all right, because we are basically we are based in Egypt, all the writers and everything. So it's a big concern that you probably the language is not the best and stuff like that. But we worked on that. I tried to make sure that the quality is up to par. Everything is going fine. And now most of our clients, I would say plus 90%, are English native speakers. So I don't think we have any issues with that. People are quite satisfied with the quality. Our recurring orders going quite well. And the feedback, I believe, up till now is quite awesome. So yeah, I think it's just the quality and the price you pay. So if you want to scale your website and you have kind of limited budget, you want to get some affordable content. So yeah, I think Contentwish is a good solution in that situation. just because you get good quality and you don't sacrifice the quality if you have a limited budget. That's basically the main thing or the main selling point.
Gotcha. So it's like the budget money side content.
Yes, exactly.
Right. You're not selling like PBN content or something like that. Like people are using this for the money side, but it's on the budget side of things for that.
Yes, actually, all of our clients are using the content for money sites, normal money sites and affiliate pages and everything. Yeah. So, it's not for like PBN type of content or anything like that. And yeah, we have our like templates, trainings, SOPs and everything for creating perfect affiliate content. We hope it's perfect, but definitely there's nothing like
as best as you can. Sure.
But I mean, yes, exactly. Yeah. That's the right phrasing for the sentence. So yes, we have SOPs, training. We always hire even like people like outside of the team to rate our writers and everything. And yeah, pretty much that's it. And actually, all of my website's content is from our team. So yeah, and the sites are doing quite well in terms of conversion rates and everything. So I think we are all right.
Awesome. So I can see how this works very easily for if someone just wants to order a single article and they go and order 1,000 words, 2,000 words, whatever. It's very simple. What do you do about orders where someone comes to you and they say, hey, I want 100,000 words? How are those orders processed then? And how do you decide? You just tell me.
Yeah. Okay. So before having the website, usually we have like Skype meeting and I understand his project. And actually, I think what helped me so much that I have my own websites. So I know how the content thing works, the keyword research, the content planning, the uploading, everything, you know, because I had my own websites. So when I talk with clients or potential clients, they got quite interested because they feel that I'm just like him. Like I also have my own websites. I understand what we are talking about. Okay. So when someone wants to order, like, let's say 100,000 words or anything above that, I usually look to the keywords, to the type of content that he wants, and I show him some samples based on that. I try to make the samples probably in the same niche. And we do something for the first timers. So for example, if you are ordering for the first time, we require that you order any package lower than 10,000 words.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So you check the quality, check everything, because you might have very, very, very high expectations or anything like that. So we require
some
you
people
just
are crazy.
To order. Yeah, and some people expect like service that costs probably like $40 per 1,000 words, just like $200 per 1,000 words. That's the problem. So we require them just to order a smaller package. You check the quality. If everything is all right, go with the bigger packages. And if I remember correctly, probably 100% of the cases, people went with the higher packages easily. So yeah. Also, I want to add something. We have like content instructions form or Google spreadsheet where people can add lots of information like target, a word count, headings, sections, template, secondary keywords, other articles that you want the writers to have a look on, and everything you can just add to make sure the content will arrive as you expected.
Gotcha. So they're submitting an order for say 100,000 words. Then they're telling you, okay, here's each of the pages. Here's how many words per page. Here's the keywords of the page, like full spec details.
Yes, indeed. And this is actually it's good for both of us because we want to know like the minimum like requirement to submit an article. We need the main keyword or title of the article and the target word count per page. And we are good to go.
That makes sense. Yeah. So yes, it's nice and clear for you. And then they know exactly what they get in versus hoping that you do their keyword research for them or something, which is crazy.
Yes. No. Actually, I found like many clients tell me, for example, I want to buy, let's say 100,000 words, but can you do the keyword research and just write the content? In some cases, I agree, but as an extra service. So I do the keyword research first and I tell them, okay, we have this keyword. And this keyword will need probably 2,000 words and that keyword 3,000 words. And I send them that spreadsheet, then they confirm and then we can do the content. So before having the content written, we have a spreadsheet with each article and how many words per article. That's very necessary to have before writing.
Yeah, 100%. That makes sense though as an upsell. Why not? Some people ask for that. Do you charge a lot for that?
Yes, but actually, like it's a kind of private service, so it's not on the website. But actually, soon, We are releasing it as a service that you can order from the website, which is a keyword research service or add-on. And at the moment, actually, we have probably like all the type of add-ons you can find in any content service, such as probably Surfer SEO optimization.
It's a big one these days, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And WordPress uploading, images, stuff like that. And quite soon we will have also keyword research, content planning. So you can basically come to us and just tell us, for example, I want to invest that amount. You guys do the keyword research, upload the content and add the images, probably later add the internal links, who knows. And yeah, so fully fledged type of service.
Awesome. Are you looking to get into the game of literally building like the entire site for them?
Yes, but at the moment, it's not like, it's not like a priority because we have way more crucial stuff to do at the moment.
Yeah, you mentioned that the demand is more than your writers can handle currently, right?
Yes. Like every month we are so pressured, or the writers are a bit like overwhelmed. We hired in December several like new writers. So I think, we are almost full every month, but we are scaling. So I think it's going fine.
For anyone that doesn't want to use a content service, just so we're providing value in a different way here, can you share the difficulties and process of hiring good writers? Because it is tough. I know from experience.
Yes. Okay. Before starting that topic, I would say, in my opinion, if I wouldn't have my own content service, I would definitely outsource the content if it would just for my own websites. Because having just content team, just like building a company, you know, you need a type of hierarchy and you need writers, you need editors, you need project manager, you need all these type of things. So it's quite like a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but
I agree, by the way, I'm not biased. I don't have a I do have a content service soon, but I would agree with this anyway. It's too much work. Unless the only thing I would add is that if the site is making enough money to pay that team, like you mentioned, then sure, why not? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, indeed. So I will say, if you want to build your own content team, definitely for the writers, you need to do some test samples. And that's definitely, we all know that. So don't rely on previous samples that they don't have. Just ask them for new test samples. After that, we do, yes.
I think that's so, fair. Just write an article, yeah.
Yes, indeed. So because it's like test sample, like 1,000 words or 2,000 words, because you know that fade content, you know. So so we ask them for test samples. Then we do a probation period as well for 30 days, just to make sure everyone like understand what's going on and everything is all right. And most importantly, you must have definitely content editors. Because even if your writer is amazing and everything is all right, you need someone who revised the article before submitting it or publish it. Because sometimes there are mistakes, human errors, and sometimes the quality is not as always, because also writing is a very creative type of job. So a day your mood was amazing, you did an amazing article. Other day you did an article that probably had a lot of mistakes. So you definitely need a content editor to revise the content.
Definitely.
And you definitely need to create your SOPs, because again, the affiliate content is quite different from any other type of content. You need to teach them how to write product reviews, how to deal with the templates, how to insert the keywords in a right way. If they will be Surfer optimizing the articles, you need to teach them how to use the software and stuff like that.
Yep, that all makes sense to me. That's good advice. The editor especially... Mm-hmm. A lot of people will just hire one writer and think one writer can handle everything. And it's absolutely not the case. You're 100% right. You need to have someone editing that.
Yes, indeed. No matter how excellent is your writer, you need content editor. That's, I tried it like on probably more than 20 writers. Some of them were really amazing, but every now and then we find that they have maybe a typo here, something here and there. So definitely you need content editor, at least a proofreader, you know?
So even like for me, like even when I publish blog posts on my own website, I don't have a proofreader or editor, but I will spend more time editing than writing it. So I'll write a blog post in a couple hours at most, maybe. And then I'll spend like 4 to 6 hours or so editing the blog post to make sure it looks right and reads right and stuff like that is a lot bigger process for me than is actually writing it.
Yes, indeed. And actually, like when you look at it, like because you have your own blog and everything, I think it's all right. But writers have new tasks every day and they have limited time for each task. So they don't have probably like the freedom just to actually, yeah, they do edit and proofread everything, but with the load of work and every day, new task, and they write on a daily basis.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the point I was making, I agree, you need an editor. The point I was making is that editing is very, very important. And without the editing, it's like, it's maybe 20%, 30% as good as it could be at the end.
Yes, indeed. Actually, in our service, for example, our editors don't just like probably proofread the article. Actually, they check the information, they check everything, they check the product selection. So it's not just like reading the article and making sure it's all right. Yeah, we double check everything that the writer has made to make sure the article is up to par.
That makes sense. Do you have dedicated content editors, or is it the same writers but they just do different types of work?
Actually both. Like we have writers who are actually editors because they're so good at writing and they have this kind of editor's eyes to the content. So we have these people, and we have two dedicated editors. So our team is basically, just to make it this clear, we have probably 16 content writers, maybe, because we have trainees as well. So 16 content writers and around 4 or 5 content editors and 1 project manager just to handle everything altogether.
I think that project manager position is pretty key there, so you're not manually tracking and managing all yourself, right?
Indeed, yeah. Actually, just like a couple of months ago, I was handling everything on my own, the orders and everything. And definitely it was like more than a full-time work, like everyday work all day, you know? So it was quite difficult. But yeah, with hiring project manager, now she can handle everything. She can just, coordinate the work between the editors and writers and clients and everything and make sure like everything is going all right. So I can focus on other things and a little bit like do some automation for the business.
Perfect. It just allows you to like scale, so you're not in the trenches, right?
yeah. Actually, you asked me like, what's a good advice? I think from Content Fish, and I think one of the most important things I have learned, which is try to get out of the day-to-day stuff and the stuff that you can outsource. So whenever you find yourself doing something that you can just teach someone to do it easily, just hire someone and focus on more important stuff. For example, in a content service or in having a business, you need to focus on more probably creating relationships or partnerships with other maybe affiliates or anything, or scaling the business. These are the higher managerial level that you want to focus, things you want to focus on. You don't want to need like probably every day just to like to do the day-to-day stuff, replying to regular writers, preparing the content briefs and these stuff that actually you can just teach someone how to do it and it's all right, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I like that a lot. Anyway, so here's something I'm curious about. One of the things you mentioned is you've never had a job before, and like 100% you relate to that. I'm in the exact same situation. One of the difficulties I found though was that it was really weird hiring people and managing people when I've never been on the other end of it. Like people have been in a job, or at least have been to a job interview and have a rough idea how that looks. The only job interviews I've seen is like on TV and movies. So it was like super strange for me to kind of be in that position. I don't know if you found something kind of similar, and if you've kind of learned quite a bit now from doing this significantly, really. You said like 16 people.
Yes. When I had my own websites, even though I had 2 writers, it's not like having a client and a team, you know, they just write the content and upload it. So, and I never had a job experience. So I was like, I didn't know how the like professional type of work goes, like how to talk with people in a professional way, how to separate personal stuff from professional stuff, especially when you're like, when you're young and everyone is like your friend and you know, these stuff. Also like probably communicating with people like emails, or using, for example, Slack instead of maybe WhatsApp for communicating. So these type of small things, it really matters. And I found it actually hard and still hard, but definitely I gained lots of experiences lately with also like hiring people, like understanding what's like probably probation period, how to hire people, doing the contracts, like probably also when someone, for example, let's say, do plagiarize the article and you want to do, you know, you want to confront the employee that he did that, for example. So there are lots of situations. For example, yeah, when to fire an employee and when to hire and all this stuff. Coming from I just dropped out of a computer engineering college, so I had no experience like with the working life, or never had been an employee. It's not easy at all. But actually, referring to your first question, you need first to start doing everything by yourself, and then when you understand how things work, you can actually hire people to do it instead of you. So that was actually my case. So in the beginning, I wanted to deal with everything, even like replying to clients, receiving the orders, hiring the people, maintaining their training and understanding everything on my own. By doing that, I gained lots of experiences, and now I can hire someone to do it instead of me. But definitely if I'm from day one, I want to outsource everything and I have no experience, it will definitely mess up, because you have nothing to teach to someone to do it instead of you. So you want to definitely try things on your own, and then you can hire someone to do it instead of you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like sales is the big one where people will try and hire someone. Like, I can't sell, so I'm going to hire someone for sales. But no one's going to be able to sell as well as you when it is your business. No one's as passionate. No one cares as much about you when it's your own business.
Yes, exactly. Especially like in the SEO or the internet marketing world, we are all marketers. And I believe definitely sales like is an important sector to look at. But at the end, it's more about the product and the quality of everything, because we all know the sales technique that we all do to each other. So basically, yes. So you need to definitely have a good product. That's the main edge. And then you can definitely do some sales techniques and everything. But it's not the crucial thing that probably hiring someone for sales, it's definitely an important part, but in my opinion, it's not what you need to start with.
It's all about the service. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, service, exactly. And it will sell it like on its own, but just word of mouth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even traditional like SEO selling to like local businesses or whatever, sales is more important in that scenario, but people still downplay the importance of the fulfillment side, because sure, it's slower to kind of build that up and establish that, but you're going to get referrals and everything. And after a certain point, that's going to grow your business in itself just by focusing really on fulfillment and just being really, really good at what you do. I mean, that translates into sales anyway.
Yes, indeed. Actually, like when we started the service in the beginning of 2020, I knew every single client because all of them contact me before purchasing. Okay. Like nowadays, I don't know most of the clients because they are coming through another one, you know, so just people know that there's something called content fish. And then when I sometimes ask a client who referred to you for example, he referred like from someone, and that's, I don't know also that person, but it was from another one, and the circle goes on. So that's the point. When you do a good service, everyone will start telling another one, and then, yeah. And actually like some people share our service on some Facebook groups. So yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that allows you to scale so quickly beyond obviously hiring people, having a good service, and that is the fact that it's what we call like a productized service. You know, it's the same thing over and over again to a certain degree that allowed you to replicate this much quicker than if it was bespoke or whatever.
Yes, I think there is a big difference between, for example, selling SEO as a, let's say, we will grow your rankings, or you will rank on new keywords.
Yeah.
These type of services, it's definitely perfect and going well and everything, but it's completely different than productized service. So with a productized service, you ask for 50,000 words, you get 50,000 words, and we know how to do more 50,000 words. But if in an SEO service, a client is different from other client, a city different from other city, keywords are completely different. So the scaling and replicating the process is not identical. Like every case is completely different, or not completely, but in most cases it's different. However, with productized service, it's the same thing. You just need to replicate and to make sure everything is consistent, and it definitely allows you to scale way faster, in my opinion, than other type of SEO service where you guarantee some rankings, because also it takes time and so on.
Yeah, also easier to kind of manage expectations and stuff. If someone buys a 1,000-word article, they're going to get a 1,000-word article. It's not like they're going to get an article afterwards. This isn't quite the number of words I was wanting. Like, they bought a 1,000-word article, they get a 1,000 words. Whereas yes, it's indeed harder to measure that when you sell SEO.
Yes, and I think everything comes with a like advantage and disadvantage part. So, for example, if you have an SEO service where you guarantee rankings, you're confident that the client will be with you probably for 6 months or 1 year or 2 years or even more. Yeah. So you have more kind of retention rates and everything, and you have same client for long periods. And eventually the payout and actually the profit margins are also very high. With the content service, maybe someone buys 10,000 words and they never ask for content again. So everything comes with basically both sides.
That's very, very true. Yes, it's the scale versus the longer term value. I agree with that. Yeah, we sell like links, and it's the same thing. I like selling links because someone buys a DR45 link, they get a DR45 link. I mean, it's easy. We don't have to like call them up or manage expectations or anything like that. But then they're just buying a few links versus having a retainer for several $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How do you manage, or do you even have issues with this, with expectations? You kind of mentioned this and addressed it a little bit before, but mm-hmm. some people have vastly different opinions of what they think good content is or not.
Yes. And we had similar experiences. That's why we updated our website with the like terms of service and guarantees and all the important pages that we want to make sure that the clients look on these pages just before ordering from us in general. So I think the best way just to handle this is just to show them samples of your recent work. This is the best way to set expectations. So I always ask the clients, they want to check samples before everything, you know? So they checked samples and now they know the average level of the articles. So the outcome wouldn't be a surprise because the samples are basically from our team and it's the same team. Also, we asked them to look on the terms of service and what cases, because actually we offer unlimited revisions and edits policy. So with that policy, we want to make sure that the clients know when to ask for revision or edit and when not and everything. So just to make sure everything is clear and very easy with the clients, show them samples and have your policies gathered together in a very clear and simple way. Make sure the clients can easily access to these kind of pages and samples. And I think everything is fine. We don't have, to be honest, major problems with the expectations at the moment. And I think it's going well.
That's perfect, man. So I'd love to bring this kind of full circle and go a little bit back to kind of the affiliate side of things for anyone that's listening that runs an affiliate site or plan to run an affiliate site, because this kind of ties in very well with the content, right? Because the first biggest hurdle when you start an affiliate site is you need a lot of content. Do you have any advice from your own experience or of how many words of content you like to kind of get as a starting point for your own affiliate sites?
Yeah. So when we start a new site, usually minimum, we want to get 100,000 words ready. And that's our starting point. And then we go later on and increase later. But the starting point, we start with 100,000. That's usually the case in most sites. Definitely we have sites that target very, very tight, small niche. So it's a different story, but generally speaking, yeah, we start with 100,000 and then later on we start adding even more. So we have a website that have 300,000 words, 200,000 words, and it goes and you keep building later on.
Gotcha. And to put that into perspective, that's quite an expensive amount of content, especially with some services.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's expensive, but at the end, if you have the right plan and you know what you were going to promote and everything, I think the ROI of affiliate sites is quite awesome, and they accumulate more value with time. So I look at them as just like assets.
For sure.
Yeah.
What do you charge for that? What did you charge for 100,000 words?
Yeah, now we charge $33 per 1,000 words. So it's like
$3,300. Yeah, okay, that's very
rich. Yeah, exactly.
Sure, here's the thing, right? Like when you're starting out, you're like $3,500, that's a lot of money, but it's not. And what you said is 100% true, that the relative income that you can get from this compared to that investment is nothing.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, just to add up like to this, we had a website that made us probably in terms of profit around in a year or something or more, $60,000. And we invested in content in the beginning around $7,000 to $8,000. So yes, we invested a lot of content, thousands of words actually. And then the site made later on, it ranked and everything, and it made us accumulated profit over several months, like $60,000. So when we looked to the ROI, it was awesome. So we invested around 8,000 and we made 60,000 because we didn't build actually links to that website, but it ranked. So the profit margin was awesome. And that's usually the case with affiliate sites if you build them the right way. And just to add up also quick notice, always try when you build content to start with a smaller topic and focus on that topic. Once you start rank on that topic, start expanding to another related topics. So you have very good topical relevancy in the beginning, and you will find that rankings are going way, way better if you do that strategy. So if you will purchase 100,000 words in the beginning, try to focus on a certain, let's say, or small niche. And then when you start to rank on this, expand and target related other related products or related sub niches, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's good advice. I think it makes sense, right? It's just good SEO practice overall. And
yes.
Yeah, pretty much everything you said so far, I agree with that. 100,000 words seems reasonable. On the lower end, I agree. If you can do more, then why not do more? And here's a question: do you like? Basically, do you want to get that 100,000 words on there like as quick as possible? Or is this like do this over 6 months, over 12 months, and just publish like 5 to 10 articles a month or something like that? How do you approach that?
Yes. Actually, we published this 100,000 words in the first, let's say, 2 or 3 months. So yes, usually I want them to be ready in the first days or weeks when we launch a new website,
yeah,
just to make sure we publish all of them at the beginning. And and from the third month, we slowed down our publishing process and we start to build some links. And yeah, it depends on the case, but usually speaking, generally speaking, it's the case.
Yeah, it's usually what most people seem to do. It's get a lot of content on there as quickly as possible, continue publishing content still, but then after that sort of initial kind of surge of content is done, then it's like, okay, let's get onto the link building and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's our strategy as well. Yeah.
That makes sense. And for absolute beginners out there, because we probably should have started with this because they didn't, but can you explain a little bit about how you're actually making money from these affiliate sites? Just for the absolute beginners who's listening to this, somehow got this far and has no idea what we're talking about.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So let's say you have a website and you want to sell probably smartwatches, for example. Okay. So there are vendors of smartwatches. Like let's say we have Amazon and we have some other stores online and you want to promote their smartwatches. So basically if someone enters your website and buy a smartwatch from your own website, through your link. So basically the user, let's say your website is ranking on best smartwatch for kids. And definitely there are people who are searching for that term. So people start to search for that term and they enter your website because your website is ranking number one or number two on that phrase or that keyword. And then they enter to your website. Definitely these people are interested in buying a smartwatch. That's why they search for best smartwatch for kids. And they will click on one of the links in your article. So your article should feature probably 10 best smartwatches for kids. So the user will click on one of these links and will go to Amazon. And then if they bought that product or that smartwatch from Amazon, you will get a certain commission. And pretty much that's how the affiliate type of websites work. Definitely there are lots of affiliate programs. Actually, you can promote also maybe courses, like programming courses or anything like that. Maybe also you can promote software, let's say like ClickFunnels or any marketing tools. You can promote way different stuff, and they're all affiliate programs basically.
Yeah, you're just like commission salesperson basically for the web.
Yeah, exactly. Commission on every sale. So that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And when, like, most of this is like review content, right? So you review in what is the best 10 or this was the best 20 or whatever, like reviewing products essentially. When you're starting this and tying this back to content, are you launching, like, what sort of ratio do you have of review posts versus like informational content?
Yes, we usually do, we used to do 70% review content and 30% informational. Nowadays, we are doing it 60% or maybe 50% review and the other is informational. So we kind of increased the informational part. We saw our websites that have more informational content are doing better. Not necessarily it's because of that, but it could be because of that. So we increased our informational articles ratio, especially that we are working on diversifying our income sources on each website. So informational articles helps us getting more traffic because, you know, these type of info keywords are usually searched more than the affiliate keywords. Not in all cases, but in many niches is the case. So we kind of target these high volume or high search volume per month keywords, and we put ads on them. So we're using AdSense or Edoic, and we are kind of getting ads income from info posts and affiliate income from the product reviews posts. So that's basically the idea.
Yeah, it makes sense. You can also make pretty good money from those info keywords because the amount of searches adds up to quite a significant amount of traffic.
Yes, indeed. And what's interesting is, you know, when you pass internal links from informational articles to product reviews, it definitely helps. But if your info article is getting traffic and it's ranking and you pass internal link from it to your product review, you find that your product reviews articles are like just skyrocketing and they are like ranking on every single keyword. So it really helps. If your informational articles are getting traffic and ranking well, the internal links will be, in my opinion, in our experience, much stronger and they pass more relevancy and authority to your product review article.
Yeah, I love hearing like different perspectives on this because I like what you're saying. You said you're doing 60-40 now. I've seen people do 70-30. I've seen people do 100% review posts. That's it. They don't do any informational content whatsoever. And they rank very, very well and make a lot of money also. So it's interesting to see kind of different approaches of achieving the same outcome.
Mm-hmm. I saw this as well, but and I believe it all depends on the niche. To be honest, so there, like Google acts differently depending on the niche, on the keywords. That's why you may hear way different strategies and tactics, and all of them work because it depends, you know.
Yeah, the typical SEO answer, it depends.
Yes, yes, exactly.
All right, well, on that note, I think we can kind of wrap this thing up. So, man, where can people find you if they want to? Firstly, find your service, number one. And then if they want to connect with you, ask you some questions, hit you up, anything like that.
Okay. So for the content, our website is, the domain is contentwish.com. So contentwish.com. And my own like personal website, it's mahmoud.com. And actually you can hit me up on Facebook and my personal website as well. So I will answer in both ways. And my email as well is mahmoud@contentwish.com. So
I really appreciate you joining me today. This has been a lot of fun. I hope that the guys listening have got some value out of this, but I'm sure they have. There's some good nuggets in here on building a service business, a product service business, and then also on the affiliate side of things. So hopefully that was helpful for people. And with that said, I think we're good, man. So thanks again for joining me, and I'll see you guys in the next week's episode.